Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited about this segment today and would like to introduce you to our guest, starting off with, though, our special co-host, Stephanie Angelo, who has been with us a couple of times before. Stephanie is a high-stakes mastermind group leader for enterprising people in a range of industries from recruiters and marketers, wealth advisors, and commercial interior designers. She helps entrepreneurs and solopreneurs grow and build their own businesses, increase sales, revenue, and market share. She's obviously a woman you need to know. Welcome back to the studio, Stephanie.
Thank you, Karen.
I actually said welcome back to the studio, but I think this is the first time you've been at this location.
First time at this location. It's nice to see you in your new digs.
I love it. More spacious. So we used to be in the Wells Fargo building just down the street, and it was kind of like a closet. You walked in the room, you shut the door. There was no windows into the co-work space. So this is, and we had to step around each other. I had to make sure I came in the studio first and then pointed where everybody should sit, and then I couldn't get out if I needed to. So it's nice to see us have grown, isn't it?
It is. I'm really proud of you and everything that's happened with Business Radio X.
Thank you. And you are the very reason that we have our guests here with us today. Stephanie reaches out to me every once in a while and says, you've got to meet so-and-so and so-and-so. So let me introduce you to so-and-so. We have Farah Kanan. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, you did. It's Kanan.
Kanan. Yep. Yeah. It was okay. It was close.
Yeah, you were.
And Farah is a photographer with Keep Exploring. Welcome, Farah.
Thank you.
So happy to have you. Yeah. And then you also said, well, okay, if I'm going to come play and have a conversation, I must also include Liz Allen, who's the curator with North Light Gallery at ASU. Welcome, Liz.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I thank Farah for including me.
You're welcome.
Oh, we're all just one big happy family here, right? Yes. So let's kick it off and let's have a conversation and what some of the connections are and how folks are serving our community.
So here's how this all came about is Farah's a member of High Stakes Mastermind Groups. And she's one of those people who, when we first met, she asked me a few questions. She wanted to know what High Stakes was all about. Within probably a day, she said, I'm in. And so she's always been one of those really ambitious people that just goes for it. And I've had the opportunity to learn about her business and what she's doing. But more so than that, the day after I met her, or maybe even that afternoon, I went on her website to take a look at her photography. And I almost couldn't breathe. She has the ability to capture the essence of a scene. She has on her website, which I hope everybody will go to, keepexploring.co.co, basically categories that she'll talk about. She's got Arizona, she's got Jordan, she's got Switzerland, she's got places all over the world. And it's captivating what she does. And so I've even put in one of her pictures in my house, and I have more to come in the near future. And she has some things coming up that I would love her to tell everybody about that I was so excited about. And the things even that she's implementing through High Stakes Mastermind Groups and some of the ideas that are generated from that and the support and the accountability of everybody in the group is behind that. And so I really wanted her to have an opportunity to come and tell people about these really exciting things that are going on.
Okay, so what did she leave for you? She gets to boast of, on your behalf. Tell me first, photography, has it always been a love of yours? And if not, how did you kind of get started? What made it exciting for you?
So yeah, I've been doing photography since I was 8 and have really fallen in love with it after I was about 11 or 10. My dad would let me actually use the camera when we'd go back home to Jordan and visit the family. And whenever we'd go somewhere, it's strapped to my arm. And I'm photographing what I'm seeing and photographing the moments I'm with my family and really taking it in, especially no matter where the location is. I think that's what's really important about photography is it really doesn't matter where you are to photograph anything.
And to Stephanie's point around how beautiful your website is, we were at lunch, or breakfast, I guess, not too long ago, and we were talking about this opportunity to have both of you on with us. And she's like, she was trying to explain it like she did just now, but really you have to see it to believe it, to just pull it up and connect with each of the areas that you've highlighted. So you've taken this love of travel, of course, with photography. How would you describe your view through the lens? If you had to describe what your style of photography is, what would that sound like?
I do a little bit of documentary, mostly nature, street photography, landscape, macro are my basics. I started off with macro photography, photographing my parents' backyard, the flowers, the birds, bees. And from there, it really grew into high school, where I took a class for a year and really basically learned more about the item that I'm using to photograph. And after my first year of at high school, they actually cut the program. So I had to wait until college to continue doing what I want to do. And photography is my second degree, and I'll be completing that BFA in May itself of next year. And my first degree is in design studies. Marketing communications was my emphasis. So I was using my first degree to really build a business for my second degree so that I can continue, keep exploring, really bring that into my community.
Wow, I love it. So as an artist, also seeing that it's necessary to have the chops when it comes to business, and it's great that you've connected with Stephanie, because it's nice to have that accountability group and leader to help encourage and push and create the ideas that we might not always have for ourselves. And you mentioned this is a second degree for you.
Yes.
Love it. So you're currently at ASU.
Yes.
And so let's have you tell how Liz comes into the picture, how the two of you connected.
So she was my teacher last semester, and it is basically learning how to do curatorial work. So we learn to hang up our work into a gallery, learn to do matting, framing, and the basics of understanding how a gallery works. There's way more fundamentals into it that you would really expect, that you wouldn't expect within curatorial studies. So I'm retaking her class again this semester so I can learn more about it.
Of course you are.
and really grow my skills within that. And I think that's probably the most valuable thing I've done, was really to take this class again and really learn more in depth on what it is that we're doing in class.
How often does that happen, Liz, that someone really says, wow, I learned so much and I know that I need to do a repeat to learn even more? Is that common?
It's not particularly common, although I probably have one or two students every year or so who will take the class again, who gets really excited about it. Once in a while, I have a student who takes the class one semester, does other things for the next semester, takes other studio courses, and then comes back for next semester. So because it's a studio course and North Lake Gallery is set up so that it's a teaching laboratory, so students learn by doing and they get to practice their skills.
So does that mean that a student who repeats the class isn't necessarily learning the same things because you've got new projects and new exhibits and so forth that you're working on?
Yes, we are a fully functioning gallery, so the exhibitions change. And when a student takes the class again, they also get more responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Love it. So it sounds like the way that this is designed, you are encouraging them that when it makes sense, come back. Let's mm-hmm. do this again to grow in your skill set.
Well, we want them to gain professional skills that they'll be able to use as an image maker, or if they decide to pursue curating or any other element of the gallery or museum experience.
Love it. And tell us a little bit more about the gallery itself. What is the mission behind North Lake Gallery?
So the gallery itself was started in 1972.
Oh, that long ago.
Yes. In the area of Phoenix metro area, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for fine art photographers to show their work. And so one of the faculty, Jack Stuhler, and some of the graduate students got together and decided they were going to create a fine art photography gallery. And so it's grown since then. It was a small space to begin with. And when I started at ASU in 1999, it was part of the School of Art, but in a building that is not in the art building, in Matthews Hall. And it's a former women's dormitory. And so it was a small space, but we have an incredible collection. And eventually, let's see, it's 2018 now. So I think 2014, we started talking about moving into the location where we are now at Grant Street Studios. And Grant Street houses not only Northlight Gallery, but Step Gallery, which is primarily showing our MFA thesis exhibitions. And it also houses all of our graduate student studios.
It's amazing. I haven't been there yet. You just moved there, correct?
We've been there 3 years now.
Wow. We'll need to go.
I know. Field yes, trip.
For sure.
Beautiful space too.
I bet. And how does it feel to be, it's been 3 years now, how does it feel to be in this space? There's got to be a great sense of pride and just this joy in being able to showcase the work for these folks.
Absolutely. Our new space is incredible. And I had the opportunity to design it. So I got to make the choices about how the gallery would flow, how would people walk through it and experience the artwork, even the size of the walls, where the lighting would be. And it's a much improved professional space.
And personally tailored, sorry, Stephanie, it's personally tailored to this as opposed to, hey, this dorm is available, make it fit.
So how does that work in terms of choosing the artwork that goes in there? Is it all students? Is it certain students? How does this whole thing get set up? Who gets to set it up? Can you explain that whole process?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the gallery is used as a teaching laboratory, and the students become the staff. So every semester, my staff changes. And it's really wonderful for me when I have a student who's very interested to take the class again, because it takes some time to train people. And when I have someone who's returning, they can really help other people understand the processes that we're going through. So the exhibitions that I curate are professional photographers, by and large, are Masters of Fine Arts in Photography students. Some of them choose to have their thesis show in Northlight. And so that happens usually at the end of the spring semester. But most of the photographers that show in Northlight are professional photographers.
And so does that mean the objects, the artwork, everything that's there is for sale?
It could be for sale, although because we're part of the university, we're considered a nonprofit organization. And so whenever we get interest from an audience member who comes through, I just refer them to the artists themselves or their representing gallery.
Wow. And so you have an exhibit coming up tell us about that. It's up near Desert Ridge.
Yes.
And tell us how that came about, who you're setting up with, and what's going to be there.
So about a month ago, in High Street near Desert Ridge, there's a salon called Cast Salon and Spa over there. And the owner, her name is Jamie, amazing lady, by the way. She and I basically met through one of her employees over there. And one day I asked her a question, how would you feel about getting some imagery up on your walls? Because she had just got this brand new imagery on her wall and the rest of her salon was completely barren. So she said, yes, bring them in. And I brought in my canvases within the same day, hung them up within the same week. And then from there, it grew to, hey, let's do a event for you and have a gallery night. So I'm like, okay, that'd be amazing. What a great opportunity for that. So we went from that. And then now we're starting our own nonprofit called Everything Beautiful. And within the space, it's going to be growing into an art vendors. And we have already a significant amount of artists who are coming out that night and going to present their work in all types of mediums. It's November 3rd from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And we're really wanting the entire community to come out to this area because this area is so beautiful that when you go over there at night, it lights up and you feel like you're in a different state. I feel like I'm in California and it's completely straight path street. So what our vision is to basically have the entire street close off, have artists on both sides, and really have the community together to see the artwork that the community really brings in, especially everybody from the valley, from Phoenix, Gilbert, Scottsdale. There's nothing like that in that specific area. So bringing in everybody to help support it would be really appreciative.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And she has some members of high stakes mastermind groups that are also sponsoring it. And so that's one of the neat things about people kind of pitching in and having each other's backs and supporting each other's endeavors. And so I wanted to hear a little bit more about the nonprofit and what this is for and how that works.
So my overall goal for Everything Beautiful is to really grow the community into an artist at High Street. We want to bring in new opportunities to grow. We want to bring in families, friends, new joys, laughters, new memories that are meaningful to the unique experience that we're going to be bringing into the culture in that area.
And didn't you once tell me that some of this goes to support animals in Africa or
yes.
some other...
So when somebody is a sponsor within Everything Beautiful, they also are donating to the service of Everything Beautiful, which is a nonprofit, so it can grow more. But when images are purchased through Everything Keep Exploring, then I also do a donation on the side. So I donate to the African Wildlife Foundation, and I've been a member with them for almost a year, and I'm a gold member. And I really, really love everything that they do, from saving the indigenous animals, helping rebuild their actual homes, and protecting the actual animals from poachers. So from each time somebody hires somebody from the photography department or somebody is going to be purchasing a canvas work, proceeds go to that.
So I've seen photographs of yours from all over the world. You know, of course, you're from the Middle East. And so there are beautiful, beautiful pictures from that area. She has California. She's got, I think I said earlier, Switzerland, and I think maybe Italy and some other places like that. Have you had a chance to go to Africa yet and do any photography there?
One day.
There we go.
Not yet. I was listening for that as well. I was curious. My sister and her husband are retired now, and they just took a beautiful trip to Africa and did the safari. And oh my goodness, out of all the places that they've traveled, and like you, they've been a lot of places, they said that by far was one of the most rewarding experiences they've ever had.
And a photography safari would be unbelievable.
Could you imagine? Just,
yeah.
I would love that. Yeah.
Well, the thing that I've experienced with Farah's artwork is, in her photography is, for example, I have in my house a picture of, I don't know if it's a maple leaf or what it is, but it is a leaf. And the way the golds and the yellows around it and some reds in the background, it's absolutely beautiful. And I have it, I think, 20 by 24. And when I showed it to you, it was like the size of a cell phone screen. It was teeny tiny. And so even in that small size, you could see the essence and the beauty and the warmth behind it. And there's another picture that comes to mind I'm contemplating getting, although I have yet to see so much of her work. But there's a picture that you took in Flagstaff. And I don't know if you remember the one I'm talking about, where you've got all the trees. They're really skinny trees. It's a thick forest covered in snow. And you would think that you would see this picture and go, brr. But there's something about the light and the way that the snow looks so shimmery that it actually has warmth to it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And I can't wait to go to this gallery showing and see what else is going to be up
there. Stand by that one and guard that one.
Yeah, well, I know how to get prints.
Right.
Well, and I'm really looking forward to being able to see your show outside of the university. It's incredibly rewarding for faculty to see their students try something new, go out, risk, and be excited and motivated and really take a chance and work hard. And that's all we want for all of you.
So is there anything happening or said in your classes where you're encouraging the students to go, even if they're not participating, to maybe visit it, to write about it, to do anything that gets them involved in that?
Well, one of the important parts of graduating and becoming a working artist is having a community and being aware of who that community is. So part of what I require the students to do is to go to 5 different art events where an artist is presenting their work and to interact with them. They have to write a review of the presentation so that they're aware of not only what the artist is presenting and sharing that with each other, but also how they present it, because they are going to be doing collaborative exhibitions with their class members and have to talk about their work publicly. So Farah is just taking this a few steps farther and actually putting herself out into a public space. And not that many students go through, do that, take that next step until they actually graduate.
Yeah, you can't just necessarily sit there and wait, right? And she's always been a really, from the half year I've known you, been such an ambitious individual. And it's so fun, you know, when she comes into meetings and she'll say, yeah, in the last 3 weeks, I did this, I did this, I did this. And everybody else is sitting around pretty exhausted just listening to this. But, you
and
know,
she's in school.
And she's in school, go figure. Also doing photography professionally because people are hiring her for various events and so forth. And it's pretty amazing. And, you know, there are still things that we're holding her accountable to that we're checking up on, and we're saying, okay, so where are you with this and with this? And yep, did that, check, did that, check.
You find the same thing too, Liz, when she's with you, of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She stood out the first semester that she took class, always wanting to be engaged with other students and be a leader in the class and make sure things were done correctly and well and on time.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Love it. It's great leadership, Farah, and obviously incredible creativity as well. I'm curious, Liz, you spoke to when Stephanie asked you just about, you know, how do you encourage the students to interact? And you talked about that community. Is that representative of the ASU charter? And if not, could you speak a little bit more to that? How does the gallery really fit into ASU's culture and community as well as its charter?
Well, part of the charter talks about not being an institution that is defined by who they exclude, but more by who they include and how they succeed. And so I feel that that affects Northlight's mission, which is basically to show a broad spectrum of photography so that our students are familiar with different types of photography. Farah talked about doing documentary work, and the exhibition that we have up right now, and we have a reception tonight, actually, starting at 6 o'clock. Probably a lot of people would see that as documentary photography. Although, if you look closer, there's a poetics to each of the photographers and the way they interpret their subject matter. So, in thinking about being inclusive, one of the things that I strive to do is to curate exhibitions about a broad range of subjects and include artists that are underrepresented, emerging, with people who are nationally or internationally known.
You know, I think the term documentary photography is something that not a lot of people hear. I had not heard it until I met Farah for the first time. You know, we think of documentary in terms of film most of the time. So can you explain, Farah, how you would interpret or define documentary photography?
For myself, when it comes to photographing documentary, it's sporadic. So I could be anywhere. And when the light is perfect and the subject matter is perfect and the angle is right, I photograph it, and it really doesn't matter where I am because I have a phone that has a camera and I can photograph anywhere, anytime. And I think that's what's really amazing about right now is that we can actually do that. But when I have my camera on me, I take more of a precaution when it comes to photographing what it is I'm photographing because I have more time to photograph the subject and the way that I'm trying to depict it as.
Would you define it documentary photo photos the same way?
No. I think everyone has their own experience when they're photographing. A more, I don't know, textbook definition might be thinking about documentary in a similar way to photojournalism. So it's telling a story, a real life story. The three photographers that are being exhibited at Northlight right now are Terry Warpinski and her project. She's worked on for over 10 years photographing on the U.S. and Mexico border, and then also on the border between East and West Berlin, and how that has been renegotiated through time since the wall came down, and then also in the occupied territory of Palestine and the border between the Palestinian state, and Israel. And so I think a lot of people would, at first glance, consider her images very straight documentary style. She's photographing like Farah was saying, as things are happening, as she sees them and she sees an image come together and she's recording it. But also what Terry Warpinski is doing is combining images or creating diptychs of images. So she's creating comparisons when she puts one image up against another. And it starts to encourage us to think about the situation. The other photographers in the exhibition, one of them is Tom Kiefer. He's photographing objects that he had taken from the garbage of the Border Patrol station at which he worked as a custodian for a number of years. He collected artifacts, basically, of immigrants' travels. And when people are taken into custody, all of the materials that they have with them that are not considered necessary are taken away, and most of them are thrown away. And Tom Kiefer saw these objects and felt like they should be collected and saved, and that photographing them would create a record of these people's experiences. And then the third photographer, Wendy Babcox, photographed all of the olive trees in the Gethsemane Garden in Jerusalem. And her photographs are these incredible photogravures. You might say she documented these trees, but then through digital technology, she selected just the tree from the background, so they become more like a tree portrait. And they're incredibly beautiful and just have a delicacy. And you see the years imprinted on these trees through their gnarled trunks. And some of the trees have been carbon dated back to 1092.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We need to go.
Yes, I have this idea of what each of these artists have done with their documentary photography, and I'm quite certain I'm not accurate. I appreciate your description, because I don't know that I quite see art or photography the same way. I'd love to get a little bit more skilled at being able to look at it from an artist's view.
Well, and that's really what North Lake Gallery is about. We want to have conversation about the works that are in exhibition, and I try to select photographers that will create a dialogue about a certain subject matter. Included in the exhibition are historical photographs, some stereo views of these same olive trees from 1900. And I'm hoping when Wendy Babcox comes to give her artist talk, she'll actually be able to point to the tree in the stereo view and identify it with one of the trees that she's photographed 120 years later.
That's amazing. You know, and some of us, for example, I've traveled Europe a lot, but I've not been to, you know, I've been to Mexico, Canada, but I have not been to the Middle East. I haven't been to Africa. I haven't been to Asia. And so for somebody like me, or maybe somebody who hasn't even traveled that much, seeing those different places in the world brings something that we may never have the opportunity to experience without that. And I looked at Farah's pictures of Jordan, for example, and you'll have to name what they're called or whatever, but I'm thinking of the photographs of, it's kind of like stone with etchings in them, but they're I can't even describe them. There's like the sides of buildings in a way. I'm not just talking about etched in pictures. They're like three dimensional. Do you know which ones I'm talking about? Those photos. Can you
city in
them?
The mountains at Petra?
Yeah.
Yeah. Petra is one of the oldest and seven wonders of the world. And I have a series, it's under Jordan, and all my imagery from Petra is within it. But the first thing that you notice when you walk in through the caverns itself, it opens up and then you just see the treasury poking out from this little spot, and you walk further in and then it just opens up completely into this massive opening, and you see the building in front of you and you're like, this was built by hand in the middle of a desert to have a city right here. And it's just baffling because it's massive. There's an upper and lower cavern, and they have this integrated water system that connects both in upper regions. They were very advanced for what they were building, and you could just see in the architecture.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing because we have nothing like that around here. I mean, we have petroglyphs and things of that nature, but in terms of architecture. Phoenix, for example, is so young. We have nothing that really has any history behind it. And it seems like anytime anything gets old, we rip it down, build something else. And there's just, there's nothing maintained and saved for future generations, and nothing really that unbelievably beautiful that was done by hand that really warrants that.
The only thing that I've seen that's really, I would say, is kind of similar to that is the Papago Canyons and anything that's Native American tribe. Mm-hmm. That's been here for as long, mm-hmm. at least, or longer. But the fact that they were able to do that here and at the same time something similar over thousands of miles away is just baffling.
Yeah.
Well, it speaks to our human ingenuity. Mm-hmm. So Casa Grande is a ruin that we can visit. The Chinle, if you go there, you can go see the White House ruin. It's amazing. Been Montezuma there. Castle also is quite nearby. So there was a civilization here that was very thriving and had its own culture, and that was really important. So I encourage anyone to go visit the Heard Museum for a good example to look at our history that is local and to understand more about the people who lived here and their cultures.
You have me thinking about a question that I hadn't thought to ask earlier, Liz. As you mentioned and give a shout out to Heard Museum, how close is the artist community here in Arizona? Not just obviously photography, but do you...
ArtLink is a good example of the community, and that was started, I believe they've had their 35th wow. anniversary. That was started basically by local artists who were purchasing properties in the downtown Phoenix area that eventually became Roosevelt Row, and you'll see the incredible development there. It's amazing. It's been very good for business, which is the theme of your show. And they were just wanting people to come in and see their work and buy their work. So they started having open studios. And I don't know if that actually started in March, but Art Detour is the event that happens every March, which is a huge Phoenix metro area event, multiple days. Northlight Gallery has participated in that the last 2 years we've been open, and it has open studios. The Phoenix Art Museum participates. There's trolleys that take people around. ArtLink does an incredible job of organizing this. You get a map and you can go to, you know, all these incredible art. Some are galleries, some are studios, some are like the museum. So they range in size. You can still have that personal experience with an artist going into their studio, and it's a really wonderful event.
I would imagine that having moved to this new location, the new as in the last 3 years, gives you an opportunity then to play at a whole different level to the examples that you just shared.
Yes, absolutely. And it's taken us a little bit of time to get connected with that community there. We're part of the Warehouse District, and so we're south of, I think it's called Chase Field now. I always want to call it Bank One Ballpark. And so they did agree to bring the trolleys down there. And so it's been a good experience. We're in a community. There's a Carver Museum is right down the street from us. And Bentley Projects is also down the street from us. We're also in a community that has, you know, challenges, struggles financially. And I hope that the increase in business and interest in the Warehouse District will help lift the community of people that live in that southern part of Phoenix also.
I love it. Have you connected with Kimber Lanning and Local First Arizona? It sounds like you have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I figured as much. And then I know before we even got on air, we introduced you to Dan, who's a great advocate for Downtown Phoenix Incorporated. So we'll make sure that we get you connected. I so appreciate the mindfulness that not only our universities here in Arizona, but also our business community are really, and government for that matter, are coming together to keep the business here and celebrate the wisdom and the talent and the creativity that we have right here in Arizona. which is phenomenal. And certainly you both are paying great tribute to that.
Absolutely. And I appreciate the way our airport has even supported that.
Yes.
With our local restaurants, and we have a gallery space in there, and they show local artists. So as soon as people arrive in Phoenix Sky Harbor, they get introduced to our arts community.
Mm. Do you take your camera everywhere you go? And because you talked about using a phone, but I've also seen you with some legit cameras that look like they weigh a lot. And
they do. Typically, yes. I do keep a mirrorless Fujifilm X100S on me, which is really convenient because it's compacted and I can just store it in my backpack or in my purse while I'm going out. So typically, yes, I do have it. But if I'm going somewhere and I don't want to have the camera on me, whether it fits in my bag or not, it really depends on what I'm doing or where I'm going.
And I like to tell my students, art is not made with your equipment. It doesn't matter what number camera or maker, your art is made in your heart and your mind. And if you have an intelligent thinking mind and a heart that's open to new experiences, you can make art with even an old little rinky-dink phone, because it's conceptually how you speak to your audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned that you will take, obviously, photos with your phone. I like the fact that phones continue to advance, and I personally don't even own a camera anymore. But you mentioned taking photos when you were young and started with your parents' backyard. And you called that macro, right?
Yes.
Macro photography, where you're doing a close-up of something.
That's
right?
That's correct.
I love doing that. When we take hikes and things, I don't know that I know how to really find great lighting or for a landscape or something like that. But if I find something beautiful or intriguing, maybe it's a little crawling bug or a flower or a rock or something that looks really cool, I'd like to pretend like I'm a photographer and get in there. I don't think you can really screw up, you know, something, a close up. But for me, it's great joy to then look at your work, as Stephanie showed me, and just say, oh, how that, I mean, the beauty, you even just the way you described this leaf, this, was it a maple leaf?
It was.
Yeah.
Yes.
So just the color and the lighting, and it's fascinating. At some point when life slows down for me, I would love to be more creative, and I think photography would be something fun that I would enjoy. Not necessarily photos of people, but I think just more the street photography and that sort of thing. Yeah. Stephanie alluded, Farah, to some of the other photography that you do. And she mentioned that you have a business in addition to, you know, setting up this nonprofit and going to school with a second degree. Speak to a little bit about your photography as it relates to an income and who are your clients.
So one of my favorite things about what I'm doing is the fact that I'm working with different organizations. I'm currently working with the Children First Foundation and creating a series for them. It's not available to the public until after October 20th. The series is especially for their gala that's coming up. And what I'm bringing from that is exactly what I want to be doing, because it's so amazing to be working with these kids and to see what they're building. I can't wait to share that with the community.
Sounds like you have to kind of keep it under wraps right now.
I do.
She's being very vague on purpose. I love the mystique around it.
Yeah. So we'll wait for October 20th and then the
big reveal.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So in terms of your own business, though, I'm going to ask, it's a rhetorical question for me because I know her on a different level and I know a little bit more about her plans, but not everybody else does.
So my overall goal for Keep Exploring is to really bring in the community of like-minded photographers and to help them grow their inspiration outside of the school field. I think most students aren't really thinking of themselves in the long run, and they're juniors and seniors, and they're still not really putting everything together. And by the time they're graduated, they have all this gap time that they could have been filled in through working experiences and putting themselves out there and networking, communicating with other people and finding like-minded individuals. And growing from that is what will make whatever it is for work really progress. And for Keep Exploring, it's already started because I have this belief system in what the other students are doing, and having other photographers, whether it's students or other photographers in the Valley, work with and become a freelancer from having an experience that is within whatever work field it is that they specialize in. So if somebody who needs somebody for special product shots, then somebody who specializes in that style of photography, who has the experience and knowledge within it, can go over there and do that. If it's a birthday party, then you need somebody who has had that experience, whether it's a 3-year-old or a 30-year-old. You need to understand that photography isn't just a specific category of just one set rules. You have so many different layouts that you have different rules for. And I think that's what I'm really trying to bring out of Keep Exploring is that. Because every single time we get hired, it's also making a change and it's also creating something outside of it.
Hence the perfect name, Keep Exploring,
definitely.
Right? Yeah. When I first heard the name of your company, I, of course, thought of all the travels that you've had, which I think is obviously correct as well. But then you just opened up for me with that term, Keep Exploring, this whole new aspect of it. So kudos to you. Very exciting. And Liz, you must, I know that you're intimately aware of the projects that she's working on, but what does it feel like for you when you see someone like Farah just really embrace not only the business aspect and curation aspect, but also the artist piece of it all coming together? It's got to feel amazing.
It really feels wonderful. And part of that is because she's an inspiration to her classmates as well. And so as they find out more about what she's doing, they realize that they can do more.
Definitely.
And yep. They don't need to wait until after they've graduated, mm-hmm. and that they need to build their community now and start making connections.
So you had mentioned something a little bit earlier, Farah, about canvases and about some of the proceeds going to the nonprofit and so forth. But some people may not necessarily know what you mean by canvases as opposed to prints and so forth. So can you talk about those two different things a little bit?
Yeah. So I have stretched canvas prints, and each canvas print has a special UV filter gloss on top of it so that they last longer. I also have different types of posters that are available, but I specifically on my website emphasize canvases. They range from different sizes according to the customer's customization that they want. And from that, the proceeds are about 10 to 15%. It really depends on the canvas itself. And it's donated to the African Wildlife Foundation. What I'm trying to do right now is to make it more organized. So when somebody purchases something, they receive that email confirmation from African Wildlife mm-hmm. Foundation saying that they created this donation that will make this change. And until I get that done, I physically just forward the email to...
Automation is a beautiful thing,
definitely.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
We've come a long way with technology. I also wanted to just point out that Farah is entering into this kind of heritage or legacy of photographers who've worked in Arizona. We have the Center for Creative Photography, which is down in Tucson as part of the University of Arizona, and that was started with Ansel Adams. And I think probably a lot of people recognize his name.
Yes.
And we have very active community here of photo galleries. We have Tilt Gallery in Scottsdale, which is run by two ASU alums. And we have Art Intersection in Gilbert near Postinos. So you can grab a great lunch and then go see a show.
Right.
We also have...
Local First had an event there.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Arizona Photographers Alliance is just getting started. They're actually a spinoff group from a group that was part of the Phoenix Art Museum called In Focus. And so we have wonderful photography groups and incredible legacy of photography in Arizona, including North Lake Gallery, which again, I will say, we have a reception tonight starting at 6, Gallery Talk with Terry Warpinski at 6:30. And we're down at Grant Street Studios on the corner of 7th Street and Grant.
Wonderful. And how can we find you on the internet and on social media?
Well, so we're part of the School of Art in the Herberger Institute. And so if you go to the School of Art's page, art.asu.edu, you can find our gallery, North Lake Gallery, as well as Step Gallery, which features the MFA thesis exhibitions. And then we have a couple more galleries on campus, Harry Wood Gallery and Gallery 100. And Farah's work will eventually be shown in Gallery 100 when she has her BFA exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And then North Lake also has a Facebook page, North Lake Gallery.
Great. So speaking of that upcoming exhibition, whenever it's going to be for your BFA. Do you have any specific projects in mind, or what do you see yourself working on next?
I'm not really sure at the moment. I'm kind of leaning towards photos that I took in Flagstaff. I snowboard in the winter, and whenever I get the chance to, I'll go up north and I'll photograph what I can when I can. And that series is really, really powerful to me because I feel like it's the most free for me because I am in this vast open mountain and I'm just soaring and I see the beauty around me and I need to stop and photograph it. So I might choose that series because winter is approaching and I'm definitely expecting to photograph something probably brand new too.
Mm-hmm. One of the benefits of being in the North Lake Gallery class is the students in the class have the opportunity to talk with our visiting artists. So Farah this morning had a meeting one-on-one with Terry Warpinski for about 20 minutes mm-hmm. and got some feedback on her work. Is there anything you want to share about that experience?
That work is going to be up for display on October 30th in that gallery. And feedback I received from her was nothing but positive. She gave me some suggestions on different layouts for one of my diptychs and maybe changing one of my images to really outlay the image that's previous from it. But the series itself is two different coordinations between Arizona and Jordan, and the similarities I see between two different deserts and the vast differences that you have within each image. But at the same time, when you look at the details, they are the same thing. That's really what I'm trying to express to my viewers, is that these two different, completely different places in two opposite parts of the world are, it's all the same. It works out beautifully. And what she had given me really has sparked something, an imagination that will help change those two series that she wanted me to fix from them.
What a gift to have that opportunity to bring those mm-hmm. professionals who've been doing it for a long time and give them that access to students who are honing their craft.
And you're also a part of the School of Arts Student Council,
yes.
right? So
yeah.
what does that mean? What are you doing?
So I'm a part of the student body advisory council committee for the School of Arts. And what we're doing is changing the School of Arts so that it's more fluid for the students. There's a lot of boundaries that come up that I really wasn't aware of. So Liz, who actually nominated me for the position within the School of Arts, has helped me start something within the community of ASU to help make it better. The art school is basically underfunded, and what we're trying to do in my group is to figure out ways to help make it grow better. So that's really what we're starting to bring to light.
Wow. Yeah, I knew Farah would be a very good representative for the student body on that council, and she would have some good ideas.
Sorry to interrupt. The natural question is, do you ever sleep?
Yes.
You do. Okay, you do get a little bit of sleep here and there.
So what I'm hearing are a lot of things that will probably take you through graduation, which is May, probably, of 2019, correct?
Yes.
So then what?
Growing, keep exploring and growing everything beautiful and growing the community and growing who I am and what I'm trying to bring out of it.
And I love that there's no gap for you, right? You spoke to that, helping other artists, you know, make sure that they are using their schooling experience to figure out what they're doing after graduation as well. And clearly, you're a phenomenal example of that. Yeah. So it'll be fun to see where everything takes you in the coming years.
She might take a nap the day after she graduates, and then
I don't
be right
so.
Back at it again.
right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's been such a pleasure to get to know both of you. And as you're each sharing, I can't help but think that we've got to have an art series here out of Phoenix Business Radio. So wink, wink, we'll have to talk afterwards because, again, admittedly, I don't have an art background. I like to be creative. I like to look at something and then I can copy it, or sometimes my big thing is painting furniture.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I do have a little creative piece to me, but I have never really been taught academically in the arts. And I think when we look at education, especially for our younger kids and how tied we are to STEM education without the A, thank goodness we're finding ways to put, you know, arts in that that term for STEM, and we're bringing focus back in for our younger kids. It's very important, the work that obviously you're doing, and to be celebrating our Arizona artists in these magnificent ways. I just really want to thank you for being such a gift to the community.
Well, thank you. We actually have another show coming up in November that will be celebrating Arizona artists specifically. I think everyone in the exhibition either lives in Arizona or has for a time. The exhibition's called Remaking America, Engaging in Public. One of my colleagues, Professor Stephen Mark, has been photographing at visual celebrations, demonstrations, protests. One of the most amazing photographs that he has that really struck me was the incredible glowing face of young people about Farah's age with all this excitement about the future. And it was the 50th anniversary of the march from Selma to Montgomery. And that will be featured in the exhibition as one of the events in the last few years where people have really gotten out and engaged with their communities. And that was a wonderful celebration.
That particular next event is November?
It's November. It opens November 2nd. We're on the first Friday, third Friday cycle that happens with ArtLink.
Yes.
Wow. So that's November 2nd. And then yours up at near Desert Ridge is the 3rd.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow, so
we're planning to do
that
quarterly, so every 3 months.
Great. And how can businesses get involved? So Stephanie mentioned some of your fellow High Stakes Mastermind folks are sponsoring, since this is business to business radio. Mm-hmm. How can people get involved and what does that look like for them?
So if you want to get involved as a sponsor or actual art vendor, you can email info at everything-beautiful.org. And I'd be more than happy to send out more information from that. But to actually be a sponsor, we would appreciate anybody who can come in and help grow it, because what we have so far is only half of what we can make and what we can do.
Great. Real quick, ArtLink. How do we find ArtLink? Is it just art, ArtLink.com?
You know what? I'm not sure. Okay. I think they're a nonprofit organization.
It might be
.org, so you can Google ArtLink, and that'll give you a list of most of the gallery and exhibition spaces in the Phoenix area. Mm-hmm. And then again, we have our webpage, Northlight Gallery, as well as you can find us on Instagram. I just forgot about that. I have a wonderful intern who's helping me figure out the social media and Instagram. And that's one of the incredible things about being an instructor at a university is we keep learning as well.
Yes.
We have the opportunity to take each other's classes, but then we also have these incredible students who are really hooked into the new technology and challenge us in new ways.
And Instagram in particular is just the perfect place for a photographer and artist, because it's all about the visual.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of Instagram, that's actually where I see a lot of Farah's work, because there are certain pieces, of course, that are on the website, but so much more can also be found on her Instagram, which is where I found the leaf and the one from Flagstaff, those two that I was talking about earlier. Can you just really quickly just say what your Instagram link is, or how do we call it?
It's Farah underscore 30, F-A-R-A-H underscore 30.
I'm following you already. And you also have one for...
I don't.
So it is just that.
Yeah.
So Farah underscore
30.
Yeah. I almost said 360. I don't know where that... Don't go there. All right. So what do you think? And is that the only place that we can find you, Farah? Where else can we glean more
of your
wisdom?
You can also connect with me on the website itself. There's a contact information section where if you have more questions or anything, you're more than welcome to send it over.
And that website again?
Everythingbeautiful.org. Right. .com, sorry.
Yeah, right. We're going to just look up Everything Beautiful and ArtLink, and we'll find it for sure. Yeah.
And then also you did say keepexploring.co.
And keepexploring.co.
Yes, yeah. Yep. Keepexploring.co.
Yeah, fantastic.
Oh my
website.
Gosh, so fun.
Well, we want to thank you both for joining us on Business Radio X, where some media leans left, some media leans right, and at Business Radio X, we lean business.
Until next time, we'll see you soon.
Thank you.